This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy 94.9 presents Absolutely Everybody, sponsored by and presented by Anecto, the People Network. Absolutely Everybody, only on Joy 94.9.
This is Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9.
Hey, I'm Julia, and thanks for joining the Absolutely Everybody team for the next hour. This Saturday is International Women's Day, so we thought it would be great to catch up with the International Women's Development Agency to discuss the focus, well, what the focus is for women around the world, things we may take for granted in Australia. We also speak to Professor Shane Murray, who is the Deacon of Art, Design and Architecture from Monash University, about his report on effective design. More about that later. And hi, Amy. A great celebration of women this week, and I believe Joy is getting into the spirit of things.
They are indeed, Julia, and welcome to the show, everyone. International Women's Day is on Saturday, and Joy will be broadcasting from 10 a.m. till midday. They also have a special event coming up midday till 2 p.m., which is a poetry, comedy, and live music slam and women-only event. So RSVP to Joy Manager at psc@joy.org.au and get involved. Sounds like a great day.
And over to you, Jodie.
Well, hello. How are you, girls?
We're great, thank you.
Isn't it? We're girls only again today. Trevor, I'm sitting in Trevor's seat today, so I feel very privileged. Hi, Trevor, if you're listening. International Women's Day, and there is a great website for International Women's Day that covers events from all around the world. And I mean, obviously, we wouldn't have time now to go over all the events that are happening, but certainly, if you're interested in to see what's going on, jump online. There's stuff going on all around Melbourne as well. And as Amy said, Joy's got something that sounds really great going on Saturday. So,
yeah, there's lots of different things on around town as well. I think there's a couple of concerts,
yep,
and celebrations around. So get on your favourite search engine and have a look.
And you know, of course, Julia, I'm a big mouth, can't keep my mouth shut. So I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. And, of course, we interviewed Ash Beckham this morning, and that's all I'm going to say on that topic, but she will be coming up on the show in a few weeks because it's International Women's Day. I thought I'd mention that one, so stay tuned. That's going to be a really good one to share with our listeners over the next few weeks.
That's great. Thank you, girls. So what have you got planned for International Women's Day week? We'd love to know, so please phone us on 1300-JOY-940 or email us on onair@joy.org.au and let us know your thoughts and what you've got planned.
Yeah, that would be great.
It's all about you, me and inclusion. Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9.
And the time is 10 minutes past midday on 94.9. You're with Jodie and Amy, and they've joined us for a discussion.
Oh, yes. Well, Julia, we were actually just talking about carers, and one of the things I think we've got coming up on the show is talking to people, well, let's just call them people that life has taken a turn and they have taken on a role of supporting somebody in their life. It might be a loved one, or it might be a partner, a family member, and the importance of that role in the community and to the whole of, I guess, you know, society. It's such an underestimated role, I think.
It really is. And I have carers that come in and help me every morning to get up and going. And without that, I wouldn't be able to be here today or go to uni or do any of the stuff that most people don't really think about. So they do play a really important role in the community, and often they're not paid, they're just, you know, doing it because they care about someone and they know that it needs to be done. So it would be nice if government were a little bit more recognising of the work that a lot of people put in, but also the needs of people with disabilities or aged care needs and all that sort of thing as well.
Julie, you were...
Yeah, look, I think one of the areas in this topic that really they get acknowledged but probably I don't think enough is the term carer quite often gets labelled to people who are older, and yet there is a huge amount of young people in the community who actually fall into this. And you know, it affects them in so many different ways. Like, you know, can they actually finish school? Can they actually attend school? Mm. Are they getting the support that they need? And whereas I think adults more so can actually ask or source that support, I think it's a lot harder when someone is young.
Yeah, and it's a misconception. And, you know, carer is an interesting word. I guess it's just a word that you use, but it's so much more than that. It really is from what we talk about. So the main thing is we would love to talk to people about their life, and if they're in that role of supporting someone in their life, we'd love to talk to you. We've got a couple of people coming up on the show in a few weeks to talk about that, but we're really interested about how your life looks and what you do with your time. So please just drop us a line on air at joy.org.au, or you can also phone us on 1300 Joy 949. Or you can actually email us off air on absolutelyeverybody@joy.org.au. You didn't know that, did you, girls? We've got our own email address. Very exciting.
We've made it,
yes. So, yeah, it's really, really exciting.
Excellent. So next we're chatting to Professor Shane Murray from Monash University.
New to Joy in 2014, this is Absolutely Everybody.
And the time is 18 minutes past midday on Joy 94.9. A large factor influencing people's ability to live in their community of choice and experience social inclusion is whether a community is actually designed and geared towards their needs. Dr. Shane Murray recently published a report on design, which is both functional and flexible for people with disability and older people in the community. Part of the success of this design is the ability for change and for the design to change over time, especially to meet the people's needs for any individual. Welcome, Shane.
Hi, Julia. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're really excited to actually have you here. Intentional design is something that's actually quite close to Inecto's heart at the moment. So can you actually tell a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in the design contributions of Lifetime Care Paper?
Sure. Well, I'm an architect by profession, but I've worked mainly in universities for the last 20 years. So I came to Monash University in late 2007 to start Monash's architecture program. And what was very important for us was to adhere to the university's mission, which was that our research should be contributory to community, should make a difference to community. And we really wanted to pursue that because I think often people think of architecture as something for elites, for a very particular group in society. And we wanted to show how design could make a more general contribution to social sustainability. We often think about environmental sustainability when we think about the built environment, but I think social sustainability is absolutely fundamental and not as much emphasis is placed on that. And I also think that generally housing in Australia is not particularly good, particularly in terms of the choices available to the very complex makeup of our community, particularly our elderly members of community or the community as it ages, choice for those people, and the sorts of choices for people who have disability, particularly people with quite profound disability, who have very few options in the sorts of accommodation that they can choose.
Now, from what we were reading is the study went quite broad. And so, Shane, can you actually tell us a little bit more about the study in particular and the purpose of the paper, especially in what you actually looked at?
Okay, Julia. Well, the paper is called Design Contributions to Lifetime Care, And it was commissioned by ISCA, which is the Institute for Safety, Compensation and Recovery Research, which invests in research on behalf of the TAC and WorkSafe for people who have suffered generally road traffic trauma and either suffer acquired brain injury or spinal cord injury and often have quite profound disabilities. And for these people, there are very, very few alternatives in terms of their housing choices. They either have the choice of a sort of single type of unit with an attendant carer, or often, less fortunately, an institutional setting, which can often be quite grim. And through this initiative called SMILE, which is the Smart Independent Living Initiative. I'm sorry about all of these acronyms. ISCA was anxious to explore the possibility of how environments, an improved environment, both internal accommodation environment, but broader public environment, can actually lead to improved outcomes for these individuals. And this was a pilot program we undertook. We looked at 20 international and local examples of high design, but interesting case studies that were very relevant to the sorts of needs that these clients would face. And we then looked at 11 in quite some detail. And the idea was to draw learnings, a quite diverse range of learnings from these studies that would better inform us as to how to go forward in producing better dwelling outcomes for these people.
Thank you. So, Shane, how crucial is intentional design for inclusion? And so we're looking really at both internal design, which you've talked about, and also external. And one of the examples that we read about was the, I hope my pronunciation's right here, the Sankt Antonius Community Centre in Germany.
Yeah, well, that's a great example, Julia. It's in Stuttgart in Germany. And what it is it's 12 units designed for elderly residents, but and it's built in a courtyard setting attached to a local church to which this community is connected to, but all of the residents don't have to be involved in the church activities, thankfully I can say. And I think what's very interesting about this project is that it's innovative both in terms of its internal arrangement. So it's a simple three-story design, but if you look at the... and the apartments themselves are reasonably conventional, but they're arranged in a type of staggered pattern so that you don't... So internally, you don't just have a simple corridor that opens onto each apartment. You have these small alcoves and interesting internal spaces where people can form or develop impromptu little interactions with one another. It's a type of example where the spatial arrangement of a building can actually support, it's the foundation of better social engagement. And then the building itself externally is located in a courtyard area that the church has made available to the public. So it's become part of the public space of the city where community markets are held, and the apartments are orientated around this courtyard, so the elderly residents have the option of actually going down and engaging with the community in the plaza, or at least it being visibly available to them as they look over it from their balcony. So, and it very much looks like part of the city. It's a contemporary piece of architecture. It doesn't look like an institutional setting, but it does support high care residents in certain areas of the development, has a range of types of occupants in terms of their level of ability, but has this wonderful connectedness to community and the possibility to develop those connections further.
Absolutely. No, look, that's great. And as we know, of a person's lifetime, their needs change, and particularly if you have cognitive or physical challenges. So how did some of the designs take this into consideration?
Well, I think this is a really fundamental aspect of the design, I think, flexibility, because not just for people with disability, but for all members of society, that's important as we change our life patterns over our life cycle. I think a really good example is one in Denmark, where there was a very simple type of housing unit that was repeated, and you could occupied different numbers of rooms depending on what your needs were. And it's a very simple strategy that allowed people with no disability right through to people who required attendant-supported care to occupy this development. And as residents moved on, the dwelling could then revert back to other forms of usage. So it could theoretically go from an apartment that had a live-in carer for someone who required high levels of care and then revert to housing a conventional family structure. And yep. I think we must be aiming for that more and more because that sort of flexibility matches the sort of complex transformations that follow us through our own lives.
Absolutely. Shane, I just got to say thank you so much for coming onto the show today. As I said, you're really talking about a topic that's very dear to our heart. And hopefully we might be able to get you back on later on this year.
Be delighted to return. Thank you.
It'd be great.
I know I've probably talked too much.
No, you're good. All good. So next we have Community Notice Board, and a little bit later we have Kelly Smith-Holburn from the International Women's Development Agency.
It's all about news, people and sharing common interests. Absolutely everybody on Joy 94.9.
And the time is 28 minutes to one. It's you're with Jodie for Community Notice Board on Absolutely Everybody. I'm going to bring some items now that things that are going on around town, I guess. It is indeed International Women's Day this Saturday, and there are lots of events happening across Australia and the world. I actually got that website that I mentioned earlier. It's www.internationalwomensday.com. I mean, that's an international one, but you can actually hook into what's going on in your neck of the woods. So, you know, whether you're in Melbourne, Sydney, whatever, that should tell you about. If you just Google it, there'll be heaps of stuff on the website. And we were talking about carers just a little while ago, and I thought it would be really good to have to pass on a resource on the carers advisory line, which is 1800 242 636. So I have had conversations with people who have just been sort of introduced to that role, and they don't know where to start. So I think, don't you agree, Amy, it's just good to have that first point of contact so you can get some information.
Yeah, sure. It's always good to have a bit more support and know that you're not the only one out there having experiences that are quite different to what you're used to, and just get, you know, your head around how a lot of the systems work and trying to find some other people out there who know what you're experiencing and how to help out.
Yeah. There's another resource, and we're not by any means promoting this because it is a business, but it's called Be Confident Belong. And I found this on the That's Melbourne website, and it's just a woman who runs group sessions for people to kind of come out and meet people. And I think things like that, and I'll have more information on that later, but I think, you know, if you look for there's so much out there if you just get on and have a look. So, yeah. The other thing I wanted to talk about today is, and I thought I would introduce some interesting, we've talked previously about sharing common interests and what people do with their time and how they meet people. And so I thought occasionally I'd bring in some interesting activities that people do that we wouldn't think about doing. So one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about today is the Australian Antiquarian Horological Society. Do you know what that is? Okay, well, that is, they're a group of people that have a passion for antique clocks. So does that, if that tickles your fancy?
Oh, my father would love that.
Yeah. There's something for everyone out there, I tell you what.
That sounds like fun. I think I've got a family friend who would very much be interested in that.
Well, see, there you go. I'm connecting already. Yes. So you can just go to the Australian Antiquarian Horological Society website and pass those details on. And just quickly, Amy, we were talking before, the Mardi Gras was on the weekend, which is fantastic.
It was.
Really good.
Yes.
So we've got to, just quickly, I was looking at people with disability website, and they said, you know, basically it was a wonderful day and it's very inclusive and all of that sort of stuff, but they said there's still room for inclusion and people with disabilities are still excluded through physicality, through queer social spaces like clubs and bars, and they're often inaccessible.
Yeah, and I'd imagine it'd be pretty similar to Melbourne where You know, a lot of the events are on later at night and there's not so much public transport then, and you can't get up the stairs to go to the events. And I know when I was younger, I went to quite a few events around town and never really felt very included.
Yeah.
So it'd be good if we could, you know, find a way to try and change that a little bit and get more wheelies and people with diverse backgrounds and different needs involved, because there's plenty of us out there.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. So we'd love to hear from you. Please, you know, drop us a line on air at joy.org.au or phone us on 1300 JOY 949.
It's all about you, me and inclusion. Absolutely everybody on Joy 94.9.
You're with Amy on Absolutely Everybody, and the time is 19 minutes to 1. I have with me in the studio Kelly Smith-Holborn and Olinda Cardoso from the Women's Development Agency and Women's Legal Aid in Timor-Leste. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Great. Thanks for joining me, ladies.
Thanks for having us here, Amy.
Can you tell us a bit about what you do, Kelly?
Sure. Well, I am the Digital Communications Manager at International Women's Development Agency, IWDA, and we are the only Australian development agency that's entirely focused on women's rights and gender equality in Asia and the Pacific. So we work across 6 different countries in our region with local women's organizations led by women, and we work to support women's rights.
That sounds like an amazing opportunity for lots of development and different projects.
Yeah, it's great. I love my job.
Can you tell us about some of the projects that you're working on?
Sure. Well, we work across 3 key thematic areas. So one of those is women's civil and political participation, promoting women's voice in politics and decision making. Another one is women's safety and security. So that falls across violence against women as well as women's participation in peace processes. And we also focus on women's economic empowerment and sustainable livelihoods. So financial inclusion and women's ability to control their own finances.
So would that be micro banking and things like that?
Yes, we do some micro businesses. We support some micro businesses and initiatives, including in Timor-Leste, and also women's savings groups as well. So in the Solomon Islands, for example, it can be very difficult to access a bank because it might be an 8-hour trip, for example, from where the women are living. So we support them with building up savings clubs and finding ways to manage their finances in the absence of a bank.
Yeah, that's fascinating, because in the cities, I think we forget sometimes how isolated different communities can be. So
yeah, exactly. It presents a whole range of issues.
Olinda, can you tell me a bit about what your role is?
Yeah, actually, our role is we provide legal aid for women and children that are victims for gender-based violence. And also we provide legal education to the community and also advocacy about our law in Timor-Leste. So about legal education, we distribute our brochure, our T-shirt, and then a poster like that.
Ah, so it's a real community involvement project.
Yes, we try to guide community how to understand our law and about the terms of domestic violence that happen in our community.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be a really good thing to get people talking about domestic violence and just aware of their rights.
Yeah, that's right, ma'am.
Yeah, that's right. And so Alfela and IWDA have been partner organizations now for about a year. Yep. And so we're working together to support women in Timor-Leste to access their rights in terms of their legal situation.
Yeah, great. So what would you see as the main challenges for women in some of the projects you're working on?
Well, there's really a whole range of challenges across the board. I think that gender equality is something that we're still working towards in every country in the world. So,
yeah.
you know, for example, one example I can give is in the highlands of Papua New Guinea, which is another country where we work. It's close to 100% of women that are facing physical violence. So the Pacific region has the lowest proportion of women representatives in national parliaments of any region in the world. So that's what we're really trying to do, is work across our region to support women's rights across a range of dimensions. So the safety and security, the civil and political participation, as well as economic empowerment and sustainable livelihoods, which also involves access to land and productive resources.
Yeah. Do you, I'll just throw a question at you and feel free not to. It might not be in your repertoire, but do you see a particular reason why there's such a low level of representation for women in the Pacific region?
I think it's quite complicated, actually, and it would probably vary by particular country, but there are, for example, in some of the countries where we're working, a whole range of cultural factors that are making it difficult for women to access their rights as leaders and decision makers. So that's something that we're really working with our partners across a range of countries to really promote women's participation in decision making, both in the local level as well as in politics and in larger scale decision making as well. So it kind of if we can promote women in local decision making, that can help to kind of change perceptions of what women are capable of, which will then support women's attempts to, you know, fulfill their rights as leaders in all kinds of spaces.
So I would say it would have a massive flow on effect throughout societies.
Yeah, well, that's our hope.
Yeah. So it seems to be a lot about social inclusion and trying to get more women involved in all levels, and that seems like a really good thing.
Yeah, that's what we were trying to do is promote gender equality. For example, the work of Alfela, they're working to help women access their rights in the courts. I don't know if you want to say anything about some recent experiences maybe you've had, Olinda, working with Alfela.
Yes, yeah, like a challenge that we face for women in Timor-Leste, most of the women is depending economy to their husband, and also the rules is women must stay in the house and then take care for the children, and it's with this region make them it's very hard to access to the justice when the domestic violence happens to them. And when we conduct the monitoring to the community to give their idea, it's very hard because the culture is very strong and they have to ask their husband first to if they can give input or idea. So like Kelly said, it's a woman's voice, it's like a second, not the priority. So yeah, that's happened in my country, in Timor-Leste.
Thank you so much for joining me, ladies, and we've certainly got a lot to think about, and it seems like there's some great projects going on, but as ever, there's still a lot of work to be done about gender equality, and I thank you so much for joining me. It's 11 minutes to 1. You're on Joy 94.9. This is Absolutely Everybody.
It's all about you, me, and inclusion. Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9.
It's 6 minutes to 1, and we're near the end of our 8th show for 2014.
Yay!
I know. And you are listening to The Heartbeats by EMR. So, girls,
the operative word
speak
girls
to me.
Well, you were talking about your interview with Shane. It sparked a whole lot of, or Professor Shane, some of the bump and...
years ago, we did a whole lot of my last organisation. We actually did a whole lot of stuff around community building, and there was this great guy who came over from the States called Jim Deers, and what he talked about was bumping spaces.
Ah.
And Shane alluded to them by when he was talking about how the corridors were designed, and also about having buildings around a central area, because intentionally what you're doing is actually creating a bumping space where people can just go and hang out, and they might actually know. Bump into somebody they know, or somebody they don't know, and go, "Hey, you, how you doing?"
Yeah,
you know, and actually have a conversation with someone, and then what that does, it starts building connections. And yeah. I just think it's really important.
Yeah, that sounds great. And Amy, you were saying you had a lot of extra questions for Shane.
Yes, I would love to. I think I'm going to email him and ask him some questions.
Great,
and then we'll put them up on our Facebook page for everyone, because just from not solely from a disability point of view, but partly from a disability point of view in terms of wheelchair access, there's a lot of buildings that are designed with good intentions, but I think 8 times out of 10 they fail dismally, in my opinion, even when they do have standards in place. So I think the work of people like Shane and others out there is really, really important to try and get it right.
Yeah. No, that's I heard you say, yeah, we'll get him back. And maybe we could put some more resources on the Enecto website, enecto.org.au. And even if we have those questions on there, and people can really tap into that information. Because I just think that people don't think about accessibility still.
No, they
and
they
doesn't
don't
come
really.
Naturally, do, no, does it?
It doesn't. And I must say, even people in my family who've been around me my whole life still forget every now and again. So, it's not one of those things that really sticks in your head unless you have to deal with it.
Yeah, people forget.
Day to day.
And that's not a bad thing. Like,
it's not a bad thing.
Don't beat yourself up. I mean, you know, I've done it where you've sort of, I've been chatting with a friend in a wheelchair, and I've taken them into a room or a house with a really narrow room, and I'm like, come and have a cup of tea. And it's like,
yeah,
I actually can't fit in there.
Yeah. And that's kind of like, nice, because it means you're not focusing on the fact that, you know, we're in a wheelchair or there's something else going on. You're just focusing on who we are and, you know, wanting to hang out.
Yeah. So. And without, I know that, you know, obviously for me, the experience was when I had my first child and I went to Federation Square in a pram. Not in a pram, sorry. My child was in a pram. I wished I was in a pram because I basically fell apart when I had my first child because I wasn't, you know, didn't know what to expect. Got to Federation Square and
it's
I just
a nightmare,
stood there
yeah.
and I burst out crying because I thought, how the hell do I get around? I can't go down the stairs. Yeah. Where's the lift? I don't know where to go. And it was really, for me, like one of those moments that if, you know, I was going to suffer from postnatal depression, that would have been the time to push me over the edge. So,
Well, it is one of those weirdly, it's a lovely artsy building, but in terms of access, it is not that great.
No. Yeah.
So, but it's getting better and they're doing things to help it out. So I was a bit the same when it first opened, and I go there regularly now and really enjoy the gallery spaces, and you just have to try and navigate your way and find your way around all the
lifts. And I reckon that's a conversation more. We're going to talk more about this, Amy. It's a big conversation. So.
Yes, it is.
Hey, can I just tell you quickly before we go? We've had a message from Ted, who dropped us a line to say he is a clock enthusiast and he's out and proud about it. So there you go. So thanks, Ted.
Thanks, Ted.
So we're really glad we shared that information today.
And I think we had a hello from Raina as well. So
we'll give a shout out
to Raina.
Yeah.
And and her fabulous show on Joy as well, which I've just forgotten the name of.
Yeah, okay.
And next week we'll be discussing an app that actually helps people to connect. Thank God for that. And Amy will be talking to the director of the Queer Film Festival around what the festival has achieved for people from the community, but also connecting like-minded people. So for more information, check out our Absolutely Everybody Radio on Facebook, and don't forget to contact us at any time on 0427JOY949.
Or on our email on absolutelyeverybody@joy.org.au. Sorry.
And we're out of here. Let's chat again next week.
See you later, guys.
Bye.
Joy 94.9 presents Absolutely Everybody, sponsored by and presented by Enecto, the People Network.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.